Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Seeds for Success. This is the business doctor, Dr. George Watts. It's great to have everybody with us today on this gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful Sunday morning. And I know, Big John, you're excited because guess who's with me as the co-host?
Yes, and she looks ravishing. I just love that color on you. That looks wonderful.
Thank you, John.
Actually, I should say multitude of colors.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, Carolyn is decked out as usual this morning. It's too bad that we don't do more radio, more TV instead of just radio, Carolyn.
Oh, well, okay. And why is that today? Why am I dressed so...
Because you are happy, and you know why? Because it was your birthday yesterday.
Oh, yes. Yesterday. It's today.
Oh, is it today?
Yes, it is.
George.
Today is your birthday.
I thought
it was yesterday. Oh, my goodness.
No.
Today is your birthday. Yes. Well, what a great way to kick off another year of your life.
I think so.
Then buy seeds for success.
I think so.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, John.
You don't look a day over 25.
Oh, God, I love it. Love it.
Well, Carolyn, why don't you kick us off? We've got a very interesting guest with us today in the booth. Jeff Masaryk is going to be with us. His first book was on Spirituality Simplified. And Jeff, welcome to the program, and it's great to have you with us.
Thanks. It's my pleasure to be here.
How did he put it?
Well, I think what he was basically saying this morning, and again, I think our guest is going to point out that we're ultimately responsible for the events that happen in our lives, but those events can often be a harbinger of very positive things if we will interpret that event right. And things don't happen to us, they happen for us.
That was it. Happen to us, they happen for us.
Well, let's talk about Jeff Masaryk today. And Jeff Masaryk is an inspirational speaker and author. His first book, which you really love, Carolyn, and I just read it this morning, Spirituality Simplified. It's an easy-to-understand and entertaining work that provides an ideal starting point for anyone with a sincere desire to pursue a path of personal and or spiritual growth. And I read the book this morning, Jeff. I enjoyed it. It really hit on what I consider a lot of the basic principles of spirituality, metaphysics, all kind of rolled up in one. And Jeff was involved in the founding of two technology-based businesses in the early 1990s, and it was the experiences in starting these enterprises that first led Jeff to develop a keen interest in the field of personal spiritual growth. Let's kick it off from there. Jeff, welcome to Seeds for Success. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you again for the invite. Excuse me. It's my pleasure to be here. I always like to talk about this topic because it's something that really touches my heart and has formed a core part of my life, for that matter, for the last 15, 20 years.
Let's talk a little bit. You started these two technology-based businesses. How did the starting of those businesses kind of kick off the start and the seeking of spiritual development and enlightenment?
Well, not in the way you'd like, actually. I mean, I think if you were to pick the way you'd like that to happen, you would have been like a Bill Gates kind of guy one of the dot-com millionaires who then had so much free time they could explore their spirituality and go to Tibet and wherever else they might want to go. But actually what happened with the first startup that I was involved in is that it didn't make it. And many people were disappointed in that, and many dollars were lost, and it left me in a position where, and I think we see this in life a lot, where you have to reach kind of this low point. It seems like spirit conspires to get you there, where you look at everything and you start to say, what is it? Not what did I do wrong, not self-incrimination, but what caused this to happen, and what did I do to contribute to it?
Well, we really don't become introspective during good times, do we, Jeff? We only start looking within a little bit is when those valleys in our lives appear.
Correct, and that's what happened in this instance. You lose virtually all your life savings. You lose a bit of reputation. You begin to self-doubt. But then somebody shows up with the right book at the right time, if you're open. But you have to be open. If you sit in the other camp of, well, this is terrible, this happened to me, and it's not fair, and it's their fault. And that's, luckily, I was guided to people that helped me to not take that path. So then the whole thing that got me into spirituality was this taking responsibility. The first book I read was Wayne Dyer's You'll See It When You Believe It. And it was life-changing for me. That hyphen word gets used a lot. But in this case, it was. It was life-changing for me.
Well, the basic of your book, Spirituality Simplified, and the basis of so many spiritually enabling books are that we are personally responsible for creating the entire substance of our lives?
Correct. Conceptually, yes, in how we flow our energy and how we think. Now, in more recent terms, we hear books like a very popular book, obviously now, A New Earth, that's been talked about on Oprah a lot, where Eckhart Tolle would actually take the position that we don't really have that much responsibility for it if we're living totally in our mind. And so there is another side to it. In essence, though, if you don't accept the principle that you create your life, that means you're a yo-yo to life itself for your entire life, because then whatever happens around you drives what happens within you, and it's actually the other way around.
Well, so oftentimes we hear this stuff like, he made me mad, or she shouldn't have done that, or it's not my fault because of these set of dynamics, not really realizing that God is trying to inform us, trying to develop us, and that's what Joel Osteen was saying today.
That's right. That every time something as we perceive as bad or challenging, or, you know, why did this happen to me, my childhood, my ex, my boss, my coworker, take that moment to say, wow, there's learning here. And the harder the lesson, the harder the journey, the harder the learning. So in times of that, which I have learned to adopt, it's like, well, you know, we all want to get in that pity mode. Why is this happening? What's happening here? And then turn it around. And you're absolutely right, Jeff. There will be people that will step in and you say, okay, that's why that happened. Now I know. I am so passionate about the life of a single mother, about the children of single mothers, that I know why I went through it a couple times in my life. I will go to my death making sure that child support is a federal law, that there are things that are going to happen in my lifetime because I went through it all. But if I hadn't gone through it, I wouldn't be as passionate.
Right. Absolutely right.
Correct. And if you don't take that responsibility, you're stuck on the hamster wheel.
That's right. Let's talk about open-mindedness. I think that's how you begin your book, Jeff. Why do people struggle so much with being open-minded? Because a lot of times we're very close to the receiving of new philosophies and ideas.
Well, I think my favorite spiritual teacher is a late Catholic priest by the name of Father Anthony DeMello, because he had kind of a hard edge to him. I like teachers that make me laugh, and also that really, in the sense of the Dr. Phil thing, you know, they tell it like it is as they see it. And DeMello would say, pretty much everybody walks around with a program in their mind. And they're programmed pretty early to say, this is truth, this is reality. And that makes it difficult. And when it gets really to core beliefs about religion and in essence, spirituality, and even nationalism, it gets really hard for people to accept alternative viewpoints. And so open-mindedness is a big challenge, but it is really the first step to advancing on this path of self-awareness, if you will.
Well, how can people become more open-minded? We realize that is a very positive quality to have, open-mindedness. In fact, it's a core of the mentally healthy person. So how can people, from a spiritual sense, Jeff, become more open-minded?
I think that DeMello would be one. Eckhart Tolle would be another more recent, you know, obviously very prominent teacher of the whole concept of, and Wayne Dyer too, of witnessing. I mean, there's a moment where that part of you that knows all, if you will, can step back and catch yourself observing yourself not being open-minded. I'm not saying sitting here in this room that I have a guru tag on me, because believe me, it's still, I think spirituality, people get the idea like there's this enlightenment and it's all done. It's a day-to-day process, and it's a moment-to-moment process of staying out of judgment and looking at things in a closed-minded way. You just have to practice. That's it.
Talk about, well, you're a big believer in past life regression. That was one of the things I picked up, that you talked about past life regression in Spirituality Simplified. Do you believe in past lives, and how can our past lives affect our present existence?
Well, let me take two tacks with that. First of all, big believer, believer, yes.
A believer, okay.
Yeah, believer. I look at the whole idea of that we live before as kind of a sensible thing when you think about the whole concept of you have this block of time in this short lifetime we have to accomplish whatever our mission is here. You would think you would have to have more than one shot at it. Is there a proof of it? There's a whole lot of opinions either way. In my book, I quote a particular author that It's a wonderful book, but it absolutely slips my mind right now. But it has to do with, you know, we don't know about our past lives because it would serve us no purpose to know. What would be the challenge of the next chance we get to learn this lesson if we already knew everything? But in another tack, I remember on the second tack, DeMello said one time, why is everyone so concerned about another life or a previous life when they still haven't quite finished the one they're living?
Yeah, existing in, I guess, in the here and now. Carolyn, you and I were talking about this driving down here, and you actually practice this, Carolyn, and I had read about it, and I have not been doing it, and that is being grateful in advance of receiving. In other words, praying as if you have already received. I think so oftentimes, Jeff, we pray, give me this or give me that, and you're basically saying, pray as if you have already received it. And Carolyn, you do that all the time.
Right. I had my house in Barrington on the market for a year. And George was telling me this thought on the way here. And I said, oh my God, we did that for a year. When I'd put my kids to bed, in their prayers, they would always say, thank you, God, for selling mommy's home.
Yeah.
And they put it in a present tense.
Put it in a present tense. Jeff, could you speak a little bit to that as far as the idea of recognizing that you already have it when you're praying for it?
Yes, and it's something I've used over the years quite a bit. I mean, I have a regular morning practice of affirmation and prayer and meditation, a little bit of visualization too, and read several books on the subject. I mean, it really is, it's a shift of the mind to be able to accept what doesn't exist in physical form. And so you just have to develop an attitude and almost in a sense get yourself in a feeling space is the most important thing. Recently I read a great book called The Belief Formula by a guy named Pete Kerner that really goes into this quite a bit about you have to feel it. I mean, we also see that in you know, books like The Secret, which is kind of high-level introduction to this material, where it's not enough to say it and think it. You have to get yourself in a feeling space. How will I feel when this happens, when my house sells? How will I feel when I'm sitting on the Oprah show or whatever the case might be talking about my latest venture? These are the things that have to come to fruition for you to really be successful in using that technique, is the feeling space more than the thinking.
Yes, and I think if you give it purpose, if it has a purpose, then there's no reason why the universe won't do it for you. And when it doesn't happen, that's a sign it's not right now. It's in the mix. We have to be patient. There's so many things that are happening through the process. Because if we really had it all right now, like we've talked before on the show, if you went and sat down at the blackjack table and you won every single game, it would be boring. It really would. If you went then to the machines and every time, you know, it was the 4-7s, what fun would it be? So the fun in life is having the waiting, having the dreams, having the putting it all together, the manifestation of it. As we all know, how many times have we gotten whatever we've tried to manifest and we manifest it and then you're like, oh, okay, now I want to go on to the next thing. So it's really the journey. Where my sister says she's a destination person. I'm a journey person.
Yeah, I understand. And I think the key is just being grateful and living within the moment. And that's so hard and so challenging to do in these stressful times is trusting that the future will, in fact, take care of itself if you send out the right energy and behave correctly.
Right. We're always worried.
We're always worried. You know, Jeff, I was thinking about this morning when I was reading your book, Spirituality Simplified. And management text and psychological science, which I claim to know something about, always point out the importance of recognition. We talk about recognition, how important that is. But still, recognition is an extrinsic motivator. And you talk about in the book that outside forces recognizing us really don't lead to happiness. Authentic happiness is really internal.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to keep bringing up Tony DeMello because, bless his soul, he was just so important to me and still is. I mean, DeMello is very strong in his tape series called Wake Up to Life. He talks very bluntly and plainly about the best example he has about how meaningless outside approval is when somebody comes up to you and says, my, and DeMello was an Indian from India, priest, and he says, my, what a lovely shirt you're wearing. He says, and you feel good for a shirt. The shirt is making you feel, because someone told you your shirt looks nice? And he said, and his whole premise is you need to get to a space where your happiness is so internally dependent that you basically, you can have your joy moments, but you don't go you don't have spikes anymore, because you don't let, you know, the moment you allow someone to say something really nice about you and make you feel good, and that allows you to feel really good, you're setting yourself up to feel really bad when they say something really bad about you.
All right, Big John, I want you to pay attention to this now. I don't want you saying how good-looking and how well Carolyn is dressed every Sunday, okay? That's over.
No, what he's talking about is how I tag on to that.
Yes, I know, but I don't want John being any kind of intervening variable.
You go right ahead
here.
Because you know what? I don't base my whole life on that, but I'd love to hear it.
I have just one thing to respond to that. I'm so confused what I should do now.
See, now Big John is confused.
No, well, that's, you just keep saying it's how I receive it.
Okay.
It's how you receive it. Let's talk about decision making. There's so many great points in the book, and I'm trying to get through a lot of them. Jeff, how can we learn? Everybody wants to make good decisions out there, and we get ourselves into jams in life, quite frankly, when we make poor decisions. Now, you talk about decision making in the book a little bit, from a broad brush, 30,000 foot, how can we make better decisions in our life, Jeff?
I think we have to ultimately refer to the inner source more often than we refer to the external source. Because you're going to hear different opinions from so many different people you speak with. It doesn't mean you don't do the research externally. I know, what car should I buy? Well, you're going to, you know, go on the web and check things out. But I think ultimately it comes down to getting quiet and asking, what is the direction I need to take? And then what you'll find is not necessarily you're going to find a booming voice in your head that says, okay, take this path now, Mr. Masurek. It's going to be more of a case of its subtle feeling, or someone's going to call, or the right book that that you need to read in that moment shows up. And I think, you know, it sounds cliche, but it's about going within rather than without. And we keep coming back to this again and again to anybody who's walked this path.
The idea of looking for that still small voice within that is speaking to you, I think, is what you're saying, Jeff, that
correct.
If we can look within and we can be more aware of our physiological reactions, our psychological reactions, we can tell when our still small voice is speaking to us. Carolyn, you, I admire you so much, and you continue.
Oh, George, I love you too.
Well, I know, but I do admire you, Carolyn. And one of the reasons that you consistently make very good decisions in life, you and I have had many, many in-depth, deep conversations about a broad variety of topics. We do it every week. Okay, you and I have very in-depth conversations. And you consistently make good decisions in your life. Now, you've made some poor ones. Gosh, only knows that. But you've made a lot of good ones, especially over the last 10, 15 years, not just as CEO of New Age Transportation, but in your life as well. How do you go about making decisions?
Well, I agree with what Jeff said. You know, I pray all day. All day long.
You're a big prayer.
I am a big
you're
prayer.
You're a big prayer.
I am a big prayer.
I'm not that big of a prayer.
I am. God
I wish
is,
I was.
is with me all day long. I am always reaching out. What should I do here? What should I do there? I am very, very connected to my spirit woman of telling me, this is what's right to do. This isn't right. This is the way to handle it. You know, you get into the, this I really want to, the ego may say, okay, do this. And then it's like, no, that's not right. That's not right. This is how I should handle it. So it's a constant. And you're right. I've made just as many wrong decisions as I have made right decisions. And what I've also learned to do is not beat myself up over them. And that's what I have found, that people that make a wrong decision, then they, oh, God, they just ruinate over it.
Right.
Get over it. It happened yesterday. You know, Dr. Phil, what's his name? The big other, Anthony Robbins. You know, at his seminars, he brings all these people up and who wants to tell their story. And there's always people who want to tell their story. And, you know, oh, my God, it's horrible. Oh, my God, it's horrible. And at the end, he's like, get over it. Get over it. But we tag on to, oh, this happened and that happened. And it's not going to get you anywhere. If you can shift that, like Joel was saying today, and say, okay, you know what? I made that choice. We all make choices thinking they're the right choices. Nobody goes out to make a bad choice. Maybe there's risk involved. I have had a lot of risk, and I've been fortunate in my risk. If I had done the same thing, I could be, you know, working at a gas station. So I was blessed in taking some choices, but I also had to pay a huge price in other choices that I've made. And, you know, I move on, and my spirit, God, you know, he's with me all day. He speaks to me, she speaks to me, and says, move on. It's okay. I'm here. This is what life is all about.
Well, I'm going to talk about, as a behavioral scientist, and Jeff, I want to get your impression on that. If you look at the research in psychology, for example, the positive psychology, the emotional intelligence, those which is now really at the forefront, I think, of academic research in psychology, the words that keep cropping up now is emotional resilience, the ability to fight on in life and to take life lessons in a productive, positive sense. If you look at highly successful CEOs, for example, and entrepreneurs, they've generally failed once or twice in their life, a la Jeff here, a la George. And it's the emotional resilience, I think, that's embedded so much in your personal spiritual journey. Jeff, and I wanted you to talk about that.
I think you really have to, at a deepest level, just believe in yourself. And realize that things happen to you, but it doesn't have to affect you as negatively as you could make it become. When Carolyn was referring to what she was speaking of a moment ago, I'm out of this concept from Carolyn Mace about woundology. You know, when Robbins has them come up and tell their story, I mean, woundology is this whole thing of that you get a pay. It's like Dr. Phil thing. You get a payback from the pain. So then you get the attention from the people around you. It's hard not to talk about your problems. I mean, I struggle with that every day. But at the same time, the more you talk about them, you build them into stronger beasts. And then the woundology gives you that little stroke from people that say, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. But that doesn't get you out of traction. It keeps you right in the rut. So you have to really be emotionally resilient and move forward. And it's something you can learn to be by acknowledging the fact that you're talking about something that's not going to serve you. And that's, again, getting back to the idea of witnessing your behavior, because you are that other higher part that looks out at your life.
I mean, well, just a couple of weeks ago, we had on the doctor who's head of the Illinois Psychological Institute, and he said what Joel says, what George and I have been saying. You are either a victim or a victor at all times. So are your thoughts empowering you, or are they disempowering you? Are you angry? Are you happy with the thought? Are you being enriched by the thought? Is it stealing your joy? These are all choices we make all day long. And we look at people and we can just tell how that little windmill is going on in their head.
Well, I'm going to ask Jeff one more question. Then I want to do a quick advertisement. Then let's open up the listener lines a little bit. Jeff, would you stay with us for the second half and take some calls?
It would be my pleasure.
All right. Well, before we do that, let me ask you one more question. I think we're entering into uncertain economic times. Carolyn and I have talked about this with the gas prices, and even New Age transportation has to think creatively. Our neighbors are being laid off. Economy is going into tough shape. 81% of the country thinks we're moving in the wrong direction. Let's talk about dealing with fear. How can we better deal with fear? Just as a general statement, because so many of us live our lives in a state of fear.
Well, I think the best advice in that regard, and I'm sure that the sage Mr. Tolle, or I call him Tolle, I didn't know how to pronounce his name apparently, would say that it comes down to recognizing that you always feel fear when you're not now, because in any given moment, things are pretty much okay. When you say the economy is going to affect you, certainly might. But at the same point, in that moment you're saying it, have you been laid off yet? You know, if so, yes. Okay, now you have to take action and do something about it. But if it's just a prospect, then that doesn't serve you at all. I mean, it's really about saying, okay, if I take a deep breath, like three of them, and say, okay, but not hyperventilating like that, say, I'm in this moment now. I'm in my body and I'm in my mind, because when you're in your body and really feeling that breath, there's no way that you're going to feel that fear as intensely, if at all. It's when you're in your mind. And believe me, I have that kind of mind that clicks, so I understand. It's a challenge, but it's about getting centered in the moment, because that's the only solution.
Being centered, and the fact of the matter is many of our fears, in fact, most of our fears, in fact, never come to pass. All right, well, let's open up the listener lines. And if you've got a question for Jeff about your spiritual development, if you want to talk a little bit about human growth and potential, or if you've got a question about your job, whatever, we always love to hear from you on unlocking your potential. And what is that number, Carolyn?
Okay, one thing we talked about, I have to tell you the story, and it's so interesting that, Jeff, you have a part of this in your book, but there is a bird that now has found home on my deck, and he's there in the morning when I have my coffee, and he has a rust colored belly. I'm not into birds, so I don't really know. But he every morning is there, and then he kind of walks over to the sliding door. And today he came up to the windowsill. And I really would like to send that out there to all the listeners. And first of all, what is the bird? And what is the meaning of the bird? So,
it's actually a male robin.
It's a male robin?
The rust-colored belly is a male robin, and a bright orange is a female.
Oh, okay.
Now, there you go.
What does that mean? So that means the love of my life is coming into my life?
I think that's exactly. And that love of your life is knocking.
He's
knocking. Now, all you have to do is just open up. We didn't even have to open up the listener lines. Big John came to the rescue on that.
About it. Okay, wow. So the number, that is awesome, the male robin. Oh, now I have to go.
I'll tell you what it is.
Website. What is it?
In the book Animal Speak by Ted Andrews, this is a snippet of the description of what, this is about Native American symbology of what animals and birds may represent when you come across them. The robin is new growth in all areas of your life.
How cool. And what is it, between the male and the female? Does it mean anything?
I don't have any input on that because I didn't memorize the whole thing, unfortunately. But
it's for new growth, and the fact that it's a male, let's just hypothesize new growth. Oh, okay. It's coming into your life through a male.
Does that mean that maybe Bill Clinton is going to call me?
I think that's exactly what that means. You and this Bill Clinton thing. All right,
okay,
let's
so the number is 773-774-8585. So we'd love to hear from you.
That's 773-774-8585. If you've got a question you would like to ask our author, Jeff Masaryk, about spiritual growth, if you want to talk a little bit about your job, if you want to talk a little bit about how we can unlock your potential, well, I'm a business coach. Carolyn is a CEO, and we've got a spiritual coach right here.
And so, also, if you are a listener and you have money that you would love to give to the Fellowship House to help these four women and their children, these four women are living in their cars. The children are being taken care of by the day. We certainly would love to have you give us a call, and I will direct you to the right people.
All right. We are now officially opened up, 773-774-8585. And while we are going to listen to a caller or two, I want to just briefly mention Unicom Marketing Group. You know, they're a full-service integrated marketing agency. They specialize in advertising, new media, graphic design, and sales promotion. We formed our agency around our people, not the other way around. We gathered together a group of marketing experts from many different disciplines and with a wide variety of experience and interest. Our team came together because they wanted to build something better, a better place to work and to play. We keep a flat organization structure to facilitate a true team approach to servicing our clients' needs, and it shows in the effective work we do and the efficient way we do it. One more thing, and I love Joey for this, we hate to be called vendors. They sell hot dogs. We love to be called partners, business partners, team members, indispensable marketing gurus, and maybe even friends. And I can tell you what, Joey Izzetto, you're a friend of Seeds for Success for sure. We see you the same way, to provide innovative, effective marketing solutions. So unicommarketing.com, certainly one of my favorite companies out there, and Joey Izzetto, and thanks to all the gang at Unicom. And we're going to talk about New Age here in just a couple of minutes. Let's go ahead and continue. And again, our listener lines are open, 773-774-8585.
And we are live.
If you'd like to call and talk about your career, if you'd like to get some on-age coaching, you'd like to comment on today's show or seek any kind of spiritual insight, well, give us a call. Jeff, let's go ahead and continue our discussion. When you talk about embracing the oneness of life, what are you referring to when you talk about embracing the oneness?
Well, it's really the idea that everything really is connected. And so it's very difficult for us to take that perspective when we see each other in separate bodies. But in chapter 6 of my book, Oneness, I used some quotes from people that really have a good insight into that whole subject, certainly Deepak Chopra, that at the basic fundamental level of life, everything's energy, and in essence, we have our different personalities, but we're all the same. And in fact, we're connected to all life. I mean, all animals, everything that has form is connected to us. It's difficult, though, when we get programmed to see separateness, and when we constantly see that reinforcement of that separateness through nationalism and ethnic group separation. It is a difficult thing to do. But at the scientific level, everyone really is connected.
We have a tendency to think them versus us. I think a lot of politicians kind of promote that concept. You know, we have to have an enemy. We have to be separate from that enemy. We have to hate that enemy. We have to destroy that enemy. And instead of looking at a much bigger picture and a much bigger understanding. We had a caller that just hung up, I guess, 773-774-8585.
Actually, a potential sponsor of the program wants to contact you.
A potential sponsor? Well, yes. that's a great thing, and we yes. certainly do appreciate any potential sponsors at all. All right, let's move forward. And again, I want to say if the listener lines are open, if you want to share the program with us today. Let's talk a little bit about the power of giving. You know, Carolyn, you and I did a show on this, 3 weeks ago with John Canning, the chairman of Madison Dearborn Partners, about the power of giving.
Right.
And about how powerful that concept is.
Well, we also had Dr. Post on when he talked about, all he does is research, and he wrote the book, Good Things Happen to Good People.
Right, right. He talked about the power of giving. Actually, when we give, we actually receive.
Right.
Probably more than we give.
Yes. Our hearts pump better. Our immune systems are stronger. The dopamine runs through our body. So there are so many benefits to giving, and the question always is, why don't more people give?
Yeah, and let's talk about the spirituality of giving, and because we've talked about the physiology of giving, the psychology of giving, let's talk about the spirituality
of
giving.
If I can just inject here, that the laws of the universe say whatever you give, you're going to get back tenfold. So there are so many, many benefits. You would think it would be a part of our daily life to give instead of judging.
Correct. I mean, you look at it and you say, well, from a cause and effect point of view, if it's true that what you put out in the world is what you get back, then that obviously makes sense. Okay, if I put something out, something will come back. But you can't go at it from the perspective in your heart and in your mind of saying, okay, I'm going to put this out so I get something back.
Right.
I mean, it has to be more like you just have faith and you have trust that whatever you put out will come back. And it's not always going to come back in the form that you think. Like, for example, I mean, people always turn into a money thing. And of course, that's how most charitable things drive. And I'm not suggesting that people and other sponsors shouldn't be calling in to support this show that provides service to other people. That is a give that will pay back in big ways. But I'm saying, like, sometimes you give things and it has nothing to do with money. Like, for example, okay, here's a simple one. My neighbor across the street, I shovel her snow. So I don't ever think about getting anything back. I just figure, you know, she's a single woman and she needs some help, so I just shovel her snow. And she's all of a sudden at Christmas time, I get a gift certificate on a Visa gift card. Now, that's a one-to-one example, but you go out without the intention of getting anything, and it's amazing. You give of yourself, and then things just show up. But it may not be what you always expect.
And
it could come in a different way.
Right. Always never expected from the person you gave it to.
Correct.
That's where I think we have gotten hurt and set ourselves up when we say, wow, I gave that and they didn't even they didn't appreciate it. You know, God keeps the scorecard. He's the one that's going to give you the tenfold return.
Absolutely.
Agreed. And we have a caller.
And who is our caller?
We're going to go out to John. John, you're live on the radio.
John, thanks so much for calling. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. My name is John Bishop from Palos Hills. And Jeff, I just got finished reading Spirituality Simplified.
Beautiful. It's
absolutely outstanding. And I'd like, if you would, because one of the things that moved me the most was Chapter 9 on forgiveness. If you could share a little bit with the audience the importance of forgiveness.
Thanks for bringing that up. I was going to ask Jeff that exact same question. You beat me to it. Thank you very much. It was a good chapter, and I think the whole idea of forgiveness is such an important concept in life. Jeff?
Yes, indeed. And actually, of all the chapters in the book, that was the one that meant the most to me to write. And a couple things about it. One is that I think that if you ever want to read the definitive chapter on forgiveness, go to a library or go buy the book. You'll see it when you believe it by Wayne Dyer, because it's an incredible chapter that really changed my life. Again, that book did. But also at the beginning of the chapter, I have a song quote that I think is it always puts a tear in my eye. It's from Don Henley, The Heart of the Matter, that I think summarizes the most important thing about forgiveness. There are people in your life who've come and gone. They've let you down, they've hurt your pride, but you got to put it all behind you because life goes on. You keep carrying that anger, it'll eat you up inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so forgiveness, in essence, a big part of what I wrote in that chapter is that when you hear the stories about people, oh, he forgave him, what a wonderful soul. Yeah, let's not discount that the person's a wonderful soul. But the key thing is when you give that forgiveness meaningfully out of your heart and you just let it go, it does more for you than the person you gave the forgiveness to, because it's out of your body, it's out of your energy field, and you don't have to deal with it anymore. And it doesn't mean you say what they did to you was a good thing, because it could have been something really heinous. But the more you hang on to it, your life goes on unhappy while the person who did whatever they did to you is just doing fine, going
yes,
about life.
Exactly.
They don't think about what they did to you, so why should you give them an ounce of your energy?
Okay, I tell you what, everybody that's listening to this show right now, why don't you just say, and Carolyn, you'll do this better than I can do. Why don't you just say to yourself, I forgive, and just whatever it is that's eating at your soul, whatever it is that's really bothering you, why don't you just simply make that affirmation right now that you forgive whoever did you the insult, whoever treated you badly, forgive them and mean it.
Right.
And let it go and move on with your life. And why don't you just do that right now? If you're listening, forgive.
But I think what has helped me forgive is to add in compassion and empathy for the person that I felt hurt me. Because when I do that, yeah, I can say, okay, yeah, I forgive him or I forgive her. But it's not enough. When I can put myself in that person's body, you know, walk in that person's moccasins, it makes it so much easier for me. Because then I think, okay, now I know why that happened. Now I know why he did that, she did that, he said this, she said this. It makes it so much easier for me to move on. So just to say, okay, I forgive you, yeah, that's the start. But when you can really send them your love, then you move on. Then they don't have that hold on you anymore.
And also, getting back to Jeff's book and getting back to what we were talking about, we have to take personal responsibility for that energy coming to us to begin with. In other words, it was a negative energy at the time, but yet that energy, like Jeff's business failure, like all of our failures, all of our difficulties, it opens up your heart and it opens up a greater enlightenment on down throughout the rest of your life. Jeff?
Oh, indeed. I mean, I look back at what happened almost 20 years ago in that process, and I think to myself, you know, at the moment it was really difficult. It was tearful. It was emotionally challenging. And now I think, and I look at it a wholly different way, like, God, my life would have never gone this way. I wouldn't have written this book, wouldn't have been on this path, wouldn't have grown this much, wouldn't have written a second book, which I just finished. No way. I mean, you have to look at these times in your life where things don't go well as there has to be a higher order operating that's leading you, albeit sometimes we drag, you know, against it, into a better space.
That's right.
You know?
I last week or the week before, I talked about how I spoke at the Serenity House, which is a halfway house for men and women that are on the path of recovering a drug addiction and alcohol. And, you know, I talked about that, you know, we have to forgive, we have to move on, and a lot of bad things happen to all of us. And anyway, this one young kid, 25 years old, whatever, at the end asked me, he said, if you could change any part of your life, would you change it? And I said, well, okay, in the natural, sure. I could say, yeah, I really wish I wouldn't have done this or what. But in the supernatural, no, because I wouldn't be here sharing and helping you move on your path if one of those things had been different. So know that all these people, all these things come into your life, they're all for a reason. And when we can forgive them, when we can love them, then we release it and take the learning.
And I have a question for our audience. Would you call us if something happened in your life that was a negative, but when you reflect back on it, it was a great event and it really helped change in the course of your life, like Jeff's business failure caused him to become more spiritual. And I can look back on my life and look at situations that at the time I wish they hadn't have happened, but now from the vantage point of time, I see what a beautiful thing it truly was. And that number, Carolyn, is
773-774-8585, and we are live.
And we are live. Yeah, so often in life, I mean, if I look back at my own life, Jeff, I think the path that I'm on ultimately was created because I was disappointed at some other situations that happened. When I first went into psychology and counseling, I had a partner, and it didn't work out way back when. And then I because of that, I went over into the business side of psychology, where I've really found a home and found kind of a spiritual alignment with the business side of psychology, which I've been very grateful for. I think we have a caller, don't we?
We do. And actually, let's go out to the sunny state of Florida. Let's
the sunny state of Florida, wow. All yeah. The way down in Florida.
Let's welcome Kate to the program. She has a comment to Jeff. Kate, you're live on the radio.
Hello.
Hello, yeah, Kate.
This is Kay.
Hi.
Kay.
I'm one of your subscribers.
Oh, hello. Is this Kay Andrus?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. And so are you.
Well, thank you.
You know, I never knew, Jeff, that Wayne Dyer's book, You'll See It When You Believe It, was so important to you. I'm so glad to know that. It was the same for me. No.
Oh, wonderful.
At my rate of spiritual development at that time, I told everybody they should read it. anyway, I just wanted to, I'm glad to know that about you.
Well, thanks, Kay. Incidentally, I just want to let the audience know that Kay, when she says a subscriber, since 1999, I started an email service of a daily inspirational email. It's free, and it used to be all just email-based. Now it's a website called pondercentral.com. So if you're interested, you can just dial up that site every day and get a quote from one of the 200 books on my shelf, and doesn't cost you a dime, and hope you enjoy it. And
okay, Kay, can you say that again? Because people sometimes are driving.
It's www.ponder, P-O-N-D-E-R, central, C-E-N-T-R-A-L.com.
Ponder Central. And every day you put a spiritual quote or a message of enlightenment.
Right. In fact, I just did the whole month of May yesterday. It took me all day to select them and post them out to the blog site. And, yeah, people have been on the list. Kay has been on the list for the longest time. You're probably one of the first 50 or so, and now we've got, almost 400, and that doesn't include the RSS feed people.
Hey, Kay, where are you calling from in Florida?
Sarasota.
Oh, I like Sarasota.
I'm a retired lady in Sarasota.
Living the good life down there, huh?
One of the many.
Well, I like Sarasota. That is good for retirees. And you listen to us on the internet.
I am, of course. I can't hear AM radio in Chicago on my radio.
I wish you could. Well, Kay, thanks so much for calling.
Listen, I want to say something else to Carolyn.
Sure.
I had a comment for Carolyn. It's so brilliant and important. I love the way that you express yourself.
Thank you.
Being a woman, you know, like I would love to be able to speak like you.
Oh, thank you.
Your concept, though, of actually being the other person or walking in their shoes in order to forgive them is so valuable. We use our imagination for fear. I would much rather use my imagination for what you're talking about, you know, and that's what it takes, is to really step out of who I think I am in order to be that other person. And, of course, at that point, you know, there's nothing but love.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That,
mm-hmm.
When you can go to that place, then there is no hostility, there's no fear, there's no anger. It's so easy to move on. We get so caught up in the injustice of what happened. And it's done. It's over. And if it's still happening, then we have free will to say, okay, we have to stop this now. We have to move on.
Well, you know, Kay, and I think you're speaking of what Jeff calls in his book the higher self, and what other metaphysical and spiritual people call the higher self. And I think you said something very important, Kay, and I don't want to let you go without acknowledging it. Yeah, there's that external recognition, I suppose, is that you said let your imagination be used for positive things and not just for fear, but let your imagination be used for positive things. And I think that's a very powerful statement, Kay, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Thank you.
I really do. And if I externally validate you and give you recognition, so be it.
Thank you, Kay.
And I look pretty, too. No, I don't.
I'm sure you're gorgeous. Thank you so much, Kay.
Thanks
for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And thanks for listening to Seeds for Success. We really do appreciate everybody. And are we going to take, we'll try to take one more caller here before we
George,
sign
I
off.
Want to add also, if there are people that are trying to get in to make a donation to Fellowship House, you can meet me on my website at carolyngable.com, and I will direct the funds. We need to get these women out
we need
of their
to get them out of a car.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
That always just breaks my heart when I hear something like that. I always feel like I should be doing more. John, we have one more caller.
We do. We're going to go to Dave in Wisconsin. Dave, you're live on the radio.
Dave, welcome to Seeds for Success. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dave. What's on your mind?
About 25 years ago, our second child was born, and born with a condition that eventually took his life. A few months later, he died in my arms in the hospital. His kidneys were never developed, so we lost him. So to deal with the grief, I worked out very hard and trained hard, and happened to enter the Ironman contest in Hawaii that year. And I think ever since then, it's been one of the causes of me staying in shape, mentally and physically, just realizing that you can deal with grief. And in my workouts over the years, it's been a great time to reflect and think and ponder and problem solve.
You know, so oftentimes I think, and Jeff, I don't know what you think about this. I think sometimes these souls come into our lives briefly in order to teach us, in order for us to learn. And perhaps your son came into your life in order to teach you something, Dave. And so oftentimes I think some of these Down syndrome children that I used to work with way back when I was a child psychologist, they had such a feeling of peace and serenity that I just knew that they were born to teach their parents greater insights. Thanks for calling, Dave. That's a meaningful statement. We're going to take one more? Well, let's do it.
Yes, let's go to Kim in Chicago. Kim, you're live on the radio with Seeds for Success.
Hi, I'm calling because you had asked about whether, you know, somebody had something bad that happened in their life and then if anything good came out of it. And I don't think I could speak about whether something bad or good came out of this particular situation, but I think what really came out of my situation is that I think I really learned that it isn't the value of whether something good or bad comes out of something. I think it's really accepting this journey and this kind of life that we live, and whatever it is, it's okay.
That's right, and not judging it as good or bad. You're right.
So 5 years ago, I was pregnant with twins, and one of the twins had died at birth. And of course, it was horrible. It was terrible. It was sad. But I think really, you know, and positive things and negative things came out of that altogether. But I think overall, what really came out of it, and maybe a lesson that I may have not learned in that particular, that I may have learned in another kind of situation, it didn't have to be that particular situation, but what I did learn from that was that I can just be, and this can just be a part of life. It doesn't have to happen for a reason. It doesn't have to be good or bad. It just is, and that's okay, and that's kind of the fun of it. I mean, that fun of it is that this is part of the process, and it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's a great point, and I think it's the ability to just simply accept life and accept all the beauty of life. Thank you very, very much for calling, and thank you so much for listening.
You,
we really do really do appreciate it. Let's do one more as long as we've got another couple minutes.
We got just a couple minutes. Well, let's welcome Mary Lou from Bridgeport.
Ah, beautiful Bridgeport. Mary Lou,
Mary Lou, you're live on the radio.
Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you. I just want to add my welcome to Jeff, and let him know how much that Ponder Central, that little morning message, means to me
every
day.
Nice.
Thanks,
this
Mary Lou.
This book made a big difference in my life, and that led me to Ponder Central. So I'm grateful for Jeff and the wonderful work he does.
Well, that's good to
hear. Thanks, Mary Lou. I appreciate that a lot.
Well, that's outside affirmation, Jeff, but I think that's good affirmation. And I think so oftentimes I have found in life is these spiritual messages, sometimes we read them and they really do speak to us, and it's the right message at the right time. So oftentimes.
Absolutely. I agree.
And, you know, we're human, George. So I think what Jeff was saying is don't tag your life to it. But, of course, we'd love to hear that. It's part of who we are as human beings to be loved and accepted. So I think it's great that these people are calling in and saying these great things about you. He's not going to walk out of here and think, oh, I'm a great guy because these people called in. But it still makes us feel good. So
absolutely.
I think it's important that we still tell each other how great we are, how we love each other.
Of course.
And we find that core.
I mean, it's confirmation that you're on the right path when you're being of service. I mean, I've been doing the Ponder Central for years, and there's some people that have actually created pen pal relationships with me, and Mary Lou is one of them. And believe it or not, folks, I didn't ask anyone to call in the show, so thank you so much.
Well, thanks everybody for calling in. And we really do appreciate each and every Sunday you tuning in to Seeds for Success, where our whole show is all about unlocking your potential. And Jeff, I really want to thank you for coming in today. It's wonderful to have you in with your new book. Well, not so new, but a great book, Spirituality Simplified. Jeff Masaryk, thank you so much
for the opportunity once again.
It's just wonderful.